Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment. Review the statement from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices. Why can't everyone just leave me alone to get on with what I have to do? Belief, there is nothing more important than what I'm doing, and everyone knows that, or should. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Renee in Oregon.
Well, hello, Renee. What are you seeing? Hi.
Well, what I saw with this particular exercise was the assumption, so there's judgment around what I have done or what I might do, past and future evaluation, and then the assumption is that that's true, that that, you know, it's usually around what people might think, so it's projected onto other people. And then that's there's a belief that that's really true, that, that those people really think that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Layers and layers, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, we hear people say stuff all the time and think, really? You believe that? You really,
right.
You really think that? That's extraordinary, the kinds of things that people are capable of thinking. And yet, if it happens in our own head, then the thought is just assumed to have merit.
Yeah.
And now that thought is a projection of, not by you, because you're the one watching this whole thing, right?
Right.
And so the thought is a projection about what other people think. And yeah. Again, we're just, if we're not doing what you're doing, we're doing right now, we're just paying attention. We just assume mm-hmm. that, oh, yeah, well, it's all true. It's all true. That
yeah.
really is what they think.
Yeah.
That is a valid thought, and they think it, and mm-hmm. therefore.
Mm-hmm.
And Renee, the fascinating part about that is it's not even, excuse me, it's not even that it's true about you. It's just true that that's
right.
what they think about you.
Right.
Just
and but then it gets
bizarre.
Interpreted. That it is true about me. Like, that's the assumption.
Yeah, but as soon
yeah.
as we look at that, we go, well, people could think, hang on a second, I'm going to cough
okay.
for a minute. So, somebody could think that you're 6'2". And right, and you hear a voice in your head that says, "Well, they think you're 6'2". You would go, "Well,
yeah.
that's ridiculous. That's
yeah.
that's so." There's a again. There's a if it's something that we are talked into regularly, then when ego projects it onto somebody else, we're very programmed to believe it.
Mhm. Yeah, and what I've noticed is. Recently, and something that was said yesterday on the radio show was awareness. So when you become aware of it, then it goes away. I don't know the right wording on that, but it, you know, you're aware of it and now you're not believing it. And so you're not in
yeah.
the identification of
yeah.
of that. And yet there's like this, I feel this little hanging on piece or something. So,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Yeah.
So if we made it sound like it's instantaneous,
right.
that's probably not true because the identification is really deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
these kinds of things don't tend to be things that just occurred to us last week, right? This is years,
right.
decades often
yeah.
of that programming, that
oh,
brainwashing
yeah.
that ego is doing. And so, but as soon as you see it, you're in a different relationship with it.
Right.
So now with this, what you're describing is you're really aware of that process. Does it still
mm-hmm.
come up and go on? Yep. but you're seeing it much more quickly, and you're seeing it for what it is. That's what's dissolving it.
Yeah. Well, and then so what I've been doing is practicing with the same thing over and over again this year in particular. And anyway, I did it in the email class. I did it. I'm doing it with coaching. I'm doing it with this. And so I just keep focusing on that same exact process, and it is dissolving it. It is a
Renee, I wish everyone would follow in your very wise footsteps. Because, excuse me, as you know from practicing, what ego specializes in is get you obsessed with this. And then about the time that you're really focused on it and starting to see something, then it switches you over. Now get obsessed about this. Okay, now you have to focus on this. Now you have, so by the time you get back to that original one, it's brand new.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All the work that was done before, it's just disappeared. Right?
But
what you're saying, you just zero in on, I'm going to, this one big, because it is big,
It's big.
This one
big
karma,
I'm
going to devote everything in my practice on that until I see through it and put it behind me. Because as you know and as you're seeing, it's not just that one thing you're seeing through and putting behind you, right? It's got its tentacles out into every. And the main thing is you're ending the process of believing what those voices in your head say.
Yes, it is working. Yes. And I noticed, real quick, and I want someone else to be able to go. So real quick, though, this morning I just saw how before when I didn't do this, that I would get relief somehow. Like, let's say someone said something good to me, or I found out some information that reflected on me well, or something like that, or I did a good job at something, and then I got feedback. Then it would be like, oh, yeah, that's gone now. You know, like, almost like the, you know what I mean? Like, there was something like that going on, and then I would go off and not practice with that for a period of time, you know?
Yeah. That's right. It's like going on a diet. And after 3 days, I feel lean and hungry.
Oh, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah.
Why do I need to be on a diet? Right. I've been saving money for a week now. I mean, I need to spend some money. That's so good to see, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for that. That's
thank
marvelous.
You.
Okay,
thank you.
Go happy.
Have a good day. Go happy.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. Oh, Sherry, I'm so excited. There were two things that particularly stood out. One, the reason we look at beliefs is because they're unexamined. Examining beliefs is the process of bringing conscious awareness to the belief, right?
Yes.
And so the more we look at our unexamined beliefs, the more everything that's under the radar of conscious awareness is brought into conscious awareness. And that's the process that Renee is describing, that over time, more and more conscious awareness being brought into the mix means that we're aware. The belief
integrates
because it's not unexamined anymore. We don't believe the belief. And that's the entirety of the process of belief examination, right?
Yes, yes. And as you're saying that, and as Renee was describing, that growing sense of being the awareness that is aware, not somebody who really believes this, but is trying not to believe it.
Right.
That's an important place along the process, right?
Yes.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about moving into a place of stepping back enough to see a belief for a belief.
Right.
Not any longer is it true or isn't it true. Seeing it as a belief.
Precisely. That's the process awareness, right? And then
the
other part, very quickly before we get our next caller on, is that place of watching the process of gratification, right? That the ego process will give you the relief from the ego as part of the process, as a way of not looking at it or staying with it or practicing transcending it.
Yes. That's my obsession with just quit.
Yeah.
You're doing this thing, it's making you miserable, just quit. And ego gives you that little relief until it says, quitter. Yeah. Look at this other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan. What are you seeing?
So there was this. The surface belief was, can you hear me? The surface belief was.
I flipped out for me for just a second, but I'm with you now. Okay, the surface belief
is I'm overloaded, you know, it's just too much. You know, just with the voices, it just the path backwards became clear. I'm overloaded. There was fear behind that. There was the adrenaline surge. And behind that was I have to do this perfectly. And this is vague, and perfectly is vague. And I'm really seeing how...
Thank you, Dan. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I don't actually know what I'm doing here, but I need to do it perfectly. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that was the 4-year-old, 5-year-old situation. I'm not that anymore. And just the adrenaline surge that comes with that, and then into the survival of looking for an excuse. I'm overloaded is an excuse. You know, it's not my fault. I'm a victim. See, I would do it perfectly, except these other people have messed me up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't.
Yeah, that's the fear. That's the surge.
Yeah, takes us back to the little kid who says, no, I'm not going to clean my room, is in big trouble. But the little kid who says, I can't, can you help me? Yeah, that's a winning strategy for
ego. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to see that
ego.
There's no truth in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of staying with the growing sense. Seeing it, you're like, oh, I don't even want to, it's hard to put into words, but there's just the recognition that that's a magical thinking beliefs thing that I don't have to, I mean, there's a habit of going with it, but thank goodness for seeing it.
That's right. You're seeing it. And you know, Dan, what occurs to me about that, when you hear that I'm overloaded, to just stop and say, what does that mean? Can I not breathe? Let me check it out here. Am I breathing? Yeah, breathing. Let's see. Can I not move? Let's see if I can walk here. 1 foot, 2. Yeah, okay. Can I see? Yeah. And, you know, by the time you got halfway through any of that, you would have disidentified from the I'm overloaded story because, of course, it's not true.
That is a very awesome physical way of examining, is that so? So, thank you.
Let me know, okay? Let me know if it's a winning strategy.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Ben. Jerry, what the image I got, or at least my experience of the same thing, is the realization that what's happening is that the awareness is so completely collapsed that even the voices don't have enough of a container.
Say a little more about that.
As the voices are talking to me, the awareness collapses more and more, and I finally get to the place where the feeling of overloaded is that the weight of the voices is so much. Right?
Uh-huh.
And the process that we're talking to about Dan is to reverse it, which is to keep expanding the awareness so that I'm back with all the energy of life, and so that the voices are in proportion to the expanded awareness rather than overweighting it, right? When that's
really
what's happening, the aperture needs to be expanded in order for the energy to come back to me.
And with that,
of the energy going to the voices.
Yeah, with that redirection of attention, then, attention is back on awareness. The energy is back to me, Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
And the overload is seen to be what it is, which is just a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can triumphantly say, oh, ego, are you feeling overloaded? Maybe you should take a nap.
Yeah.
Go on vacation.
Yeah, reduced to a point in the large white walls, right?
Yeah.
To it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's very good.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie. What are you seeing?
What am I seeing? Well, fear seems to be behind some of my thinking. That's been true for probably my whole life, or at least since I was a child. When I'm doing something, particularly if I involve other people, or I can even be doing something that doesn't involve other people, but it'll seep in, what will they think, or how will it look, I look if I do this or fail, and fear is behind all that, that kind of thinking.
Yes, exactly, Jamie. And if I may, because for all of us, what you're describing is the beginning of the socialization process, right? You're moving from being a happy little kid just in the world, right, just being here and alive, to, okay, there are standards. People want things. I get in trouble if I don't know what that is. I need to figure out what they want so that I can do it, so that I'll be safe. That's what you're seeing, right? And the fear, and of course, the ego is being developed, and ego is fear. Yeah. So there it is.
The ego tells me I should be a certain way, and then I either get mad at myself or blame other people, and then the anger can come in. And the ego's creating this whole story in my mind. It's unnecessary.
That's right. Well, and Jamie, just to be really clear about the language, you're not doing any of that, actually.
Right.
At this
right.
point, fortunately, you're being able to observe it, right?
Yes.
You are the awareness that can observe it. But ego just goes back and forth in its dualistic way. It beats you up for what you're doing wrong. It beats them up, even though they don't know it, because they're doing it wrong. No, you're doing it wrong. No, they're doing it wrong. No, you're doing it right.
Right.
And you now you're able to watch that happen.
Yeah, and then the other thing that can happen is I just get to the point where, I'll just give up, or I'll just go watch television for 3 hours. But then I come back, and I'm right where I started.
Go ahead. That's a what?
No, I'm just saying that's sort of part of what might cause addictions. People just want to blank out. They don't want to deal with
that's
it anymore.
That is exactly it, Jamie. And whether it's a fifth of Jack Daniels or 3 hours of television, if the motivation is, I just want to shut off the voice in my head.
Right.
That's what we're going for. And the thing that I project you're catching on to is, that's actually feeding it. So nothing is interfering with it, right? It takes you to the point where you're in a collapse. You've given it all your life force. You just need to lie there in front of the TV until you get some life force back, and then that same system will come in to suck it out of you again. So
not
really
just challenging the ego, or nothing's questioning the ego.
That's right.
Right. And
so what you can do instead is, when that feeling of I just want to quit comes on, you pick up the recorder and you make a recording about, I'm seeing that ego is doing this. It's talking me into quitting. It wants me to. And what I want instead is to turn back to life. I want the life force for me. I want to enjoy. I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to, whatever it is you like to do, I'm going to read something I enjoy reading, or I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to whatever it is. And it's that same process we were just talking about with Dan. Now the energy is coming back to you, right? It's not being sucked out of you.
Right. We do our practice, whether it's recording or listening, participating in this show, meditating. We're all breaking that up because that's counter
that's
to
right.
what the ego wants.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's a good point, Jamie. You could just have these conversations on your phone or whatever your device is, and you just start listening to one. When the voice says, just quit, just turn on the TV. No, I think I'm going to listen to a year-long retreat, or I think I'm going to listen to open air. I think I'm going to listen to some of my recordings about enjoying what I enjoy in life. Yeah,
right.
That's the ticket.
And I am learning that I can do things and enjoy doing them and enjoy accomplishing things without the ego being involved.
That's right. In fact, it's the only way we can enjoy anything,
right?
Is when the ego isn't there. In fact,
I'm finding doing things around the house, sometimes I just want to do it. It's not about having to do it.
And it's all enjoyable, isn't it? When it's just you and Jamie going around living your life, it's a good time.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Gosho and go happy.
Gosho and go happy.
Right.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Jamie. I think we say it in the Going Beyond Resistance in the book, right, Sherry, that fear is the boundary when you're going to go past ego.
Yes.
And that just the sensations that are produced, that's meant, it's like Pavlov's, the conditioning, right? So as soon as you experience that, you won't cross the line. And that's exactly what is counted on in order to keep you from ever approaching the line.
Yeah.
And so just to realize that's the process that's being used and to prove to myself repeatedly that I'm not going to perish, or what is being told to me in that vague and abstracted way that Dan was talking about that is going to happen to me if I cross the line is not actually going to happen to me.
Yes. And, you know, Ashwini, when you say that, it reminds me of something, because this takes us kind of back to Renee. We don't want to give the impression that it never happens. So one of my favorite scenes in the movie Gandhi, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, is the Salt March, where the men walk up to the line and get beaten, and they fall to the side, and the women are there to take care of them and bandage them and that, as the next. And, of course, I'm a huge fan full disclosure, of John Lewis, and watching him and those other people walk across that bridge into armed police and being beaten with batons and falling down, and the next group just comes, and the next group just comes. And no matter how often they're beaten, they just keep coming. And it's a perfect picture of us going up against ego, because ego cannot maintain itself in the face of our determination, our commitment, our devotion. It just can't.
Well, and there, right, Sherry, not to get too religious or philosophical, is the metaphorical sense of whatever I'm standing up for in this situation is way more than the pain of the physical that which is what I'm afraid of, right? I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid of the pain of whatever it is. So whatever I'm afraid of, that ceases to be the most important thing, because what I'm standing up for is more important. So I'm willing to go up against it.
That's right. And with our practice, you know, I might die in the process. I might. But the comforting news is I'm going to die anyway. So am I going to die as someone of integrity, or am I going to die a coward, afraid of what a voice in my head threatens is going to happen to me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's our choice.
If I'm suffering, then I'm not choosing to end it. Right. That's
really
what it means. Yeah.
That's what that little saying means. Yes. Yeah.
All right. We have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, what are you seeing?
Oh, I'm just seeing the experience of practice grabbing a hold of me and not letting go. you know, it just has wrapped its arms around me, and I, as much as ego squirms and tries to create all kinds of chaos and throw up everything it has, life won't let go of me.
No, ego doesn't have a chance. You know, Carolyn,
yeah.
One of my spiritual heroes, and this is a weird way to say it, but you'll appreciate it. He uses the images of being caught in the jaws of a tiger.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not, it's not going to go in another way. And so that can seem like a very negative image, right? But when, as you're saying, you're caught in the jaws, if you will, the arms of life.
Yeah.
To realize in that same way, it's not going to go in another way. You might as well quit struggling.
Oh.
Might as well just get here and enjoy it because.
Oh.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite Rumi quotes is, try something new, surrender.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and,
exactly.
Yeah. It was so wonderful in a previous focus. I saw that what had wrapped its tentacles around everything was that I was in a constant process of atonement, that I needed to atone for being Carolyn, that was somehow a sin. And what was offered to me in guidance was to reframe that. It's not atonement. What? Because that's practicing what I'm not. What I'm focused on instead is at one moment.
Yeah.
Ashwini offered that gift to me.
Yeah. And so what those tentacles are actually tentacles of love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fear, those, that fierceness that you were pointing to earlier. It's that that relaxing into, I'm not going to be let go of.
That's right.
There's
That's
nothing
right.
for me to do. I won't be abandoned. I won't be let go of.
Nope. And so I don't need to fight love.
Yes. Oh, thank you for that. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
It just makes a person so deliriously happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Carolyn. Sherry, I'm trying to find Carolyn in the queue so I can mute her. Hang on one second. The thing that was so beautiful about that conversation is, we all want love, and yet the fear that the ego puts in us is the surrender of my individuality in the union, right? And yet it's only in the surrender of the ego that the union is experienced.
Yeah.
And that's what that Rumi quote is pointing to.
Yeah.
That it's the wrong thing we're told we're surrendering. But that's exactly what the
right.
ego says all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, in the same way that we look at constantly in practice, right? That ego is endlessly talking about what is not so, what is not true, telling us that we are what we're not, attempting to prevent us from realizing what we are. I mean, that's the relationship. And increasingly, of course, as we practice, we realize, I'm ready to let that relationship go.
Wow. Yeah, it's the thing that's standing between me and what I am, or what is.
Right. Okay. Which is love.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. It's Friday, so here's our assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL, what you see. Example, taskmaster. This is what you need to do today. Get it done. Impatient. Can't he get to the point? I don't have all day. She just wants to talk and I have to listen, even though every second on the phone with her is eating into my time to get my work done. Anxious. I feel so much pressure. At this rate, I'm not going to get through all I have to do. Juggler of priorities. Why don't you reschedule something so you have more time today? Don't stop now. You can meditate later. Victim. Why does everyone think I have an elastic capacity to assist them? After all, I have my own stuff to get done. Critic. You shouldn't be multitasking. You can't read the email and listen to the call. You allowed your patience to show. You hurt her feelings.
God. Talk about multifaceted, huh?
I know.
It's a wonder if we don't just fall over in dizziness from being swirled around.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.